Welcome to Beauty and the Brain with your hosts, Dr. Chris Crowley and nurse practitioner Jerry Drinkard. Get ready to dive into the latest in revolutionary treatments, cutting-edge devices, and wellness secrets. Whether you're a consumer or provider, we're here to empower you at the forefront of beauty and aesthetics.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain, the podcast where we discuss all things aesthetics. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
Lisa Wright is going to hate how fast you just did that.
I was just thinking that.
But I'm Jerry Drinkard, family nurse practitioner, and together Chris and I own Skin and Tonic, Med Spa is located here in Pace, Florida. And we're joined today by Allie Ballou, our nurse practitioner here at Skin and Tonic.
Happy to be here again.
Why is she going to hate the way I did that?
She told me the other day, she's like, Chris is doing so much better because he's talking slower on the introduction. And I like it. But when he talks so fast, it sounds like he's just in a hurry to get through.
Sorry, Lisa. What are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about beauty secrets that are global.
Wow.
I think the one that we left off of this, we didn't talk about the beauty secrets of Pace, Florida.
We didn't, but I guess we can tell the beauty secrets of Pace because we're here.
Damn. So what we're talking about is how different areas are kind of famous for different things and how around the world. And I think how as the United States, we've kind of adapted things from each of these places to come up with our own look. And not only have we adapted, but oftentimes we go to these places to try to achieve what they're doing.
I think even within the United States, we have areas that like a Miami beautiful looks way different than a New York beautiful looks way different than a California idea or a Midwest idea. So I think even within our country, we have different beauty standards depending on the area that you live in.
Do you think Miami has a crunchy look?
No.
I don't either. I'm so glad I know how to use that word now.
I still hate that word.
That's like Midwest. Midwestern is crunchy.
That's a bad word. So what would be your favorite area, like beauty-wise? Like if you could choose somewhere to go to focus on their beauty. I know mine right off.
For sure.
Mine would be Korea.
What would yours be?
Do you want to know why? Mine would be Korea.
Sure.
He wants to say it. Let him say it.
Do you want to tell us why, Korea?
Why, Jerry?
Because they focus on skin. And so, I think that's always, my issue is always, my skin. And so, Korean skincare is always amazing to me.
Where do you think mine would be?
So, I think a year and a half ago, I would have said Brazil for your butt, but you got that. So, and then 2 years ago, I'd have said it would have been Turkey before your teeth, but you got that. And you got great hair.
So I think it's different, where we would go versus where we, love the ideal beauty. So where do you think the ideal beauty standard, you identify with? A part of the U.S. or a part of the world? Where do you think the people are just beautiful?
God, I don't know. There are pretty people everywhere. I don't know. What would you think?
I think when I think of beauty standards in areas, I think about the extremes of that. You know what I mean? When that's not the reality of it. I don't know. Part of me is California, but not the overdone California, which I kind of feel like, I don't know. That's hard. What did you think I was going to say?
I was going to say Midwest.
Oh, Midwest.
You seem like you're the Midwest boys that you think they're beautiful.
Yeah. Boys?
But not the Midwest girls. I would pick you as a California girl.
Oh, Midwest boys, yes.
Yeah, I'm saying in beauty types, you're going to pick the Midwest Southern, boys and you're going to...
Or just a Southern boy.
But you're going to want the California.
Corn food.
Yeah, eats cornbread.
Chris is going to Brazil.
I don't know. I just think, you talked about skin in Korea. I think skin is important. And so to me, I love dark skin. There's something about it. And it's not necessarily, I do think Brazil, Brazilian people or Latin American people are beautiful, but also Korean. I even think African, think about our friend Rachel. like, I love her skin. It's like it has a light in it. And like, I mean, Rachel's from Kenya, and I love like how pretty her skin is. Just
it's glowing. One of those. I think that skin, I have a patient that is Kenyan as well, and I find it like so intriguing that someone can be like a Fitz Five, like a very dark with such a gold underhue. Like,
I was about to say, like, when I think of Rachel's skin, like, I think of her skin as like bright. And that may not be like the first word that you even think of to describe skin like that, but like she has beautiful, bright, tight, glowy, radiant skin.
Yeah, I think that fascinates me as much as anything, like looking at that kind of quality. Yeah, the people I think are beautiful. Like, yeah, the Brazilians are definitely pretty, but they're pretty people all over the world. I agree with you with that. And if I could just pick anywhere to go for procedures, I'd probably pick Korea also.
Yes.
I think they're kind of on the forefront of a lot of things that we do in aesthetics. So from their injectables, their energy-based devices, the procedures, we have people that come here that will go to Korea and get a lot of things done in like a day. I know you have a flight attendant that goes there quite frequently.
And I mean, it's nothing, it does not look overdone, has like phenomenal skin, has had numerous procedures. The heal time's great because they use such good products and great exosomes that are used there. They do all sorts of things to promote healing.
I think it'll be interesting because we talk about beauty standards around the world, and we're doing a couple of trips coming up, and one of them we're going to be looking at like some different things, and we'll get to explore kind of what they're offering. And some of the really doing a lot through Asia, so we're going to be looking at Vietnam, Cambodia, some of those places, and maybe we can bring some of that back here. Or get some things done while we're there.
I want to go get like a facial or something while we're there.
A salmon sperm facial.
We can do that here, though.
Yeah, we do that here.
Do you think their salmon sperm is different there?
Could be.
What do you think?
Maybe their salmon aren't fed hormones and preservatives. I don't know.
I think most of our salmon sperm come from there. From salmon farms.
But our salmon sperm comes from them.
I think so.
I guess that would be special then.
So I do think that there are different things that they focus on, right, though? And I think when we look at certain cultures, that some focus more on body, some more face, some more skin. I think that's the main thing. So we do see that those standards kind of change. And don't know if a lot of people know how we come up with the name of the podcast, Beauty in the Brain, but one of the things is we were talking about ideal beauty standards, and we were discussing one night, and I was reading a neuroscience journal on like the neurotransmitters that are released when we find something pretty. And at what age do we start identifying something as beautiful, and how do we, our brains get trained that that's pretty? So is there something that's universal that everybody can agree on, whether you're dropped here or, you know, somewhere across the world? And are the things that are just in those cultures? Sierra and I was talking recently, I forgot, there's a presentation or something that we're going to do. I don't even remember why we're discussing it, but we're talking about some of the extremes. So when we have like the sounds and the ears that get really stretched, or the rings on the necks in certain cultures, that some people would find it extreme and not attractive, but in those cultures, it's really desirable. So what's universal and what's really dependent on the local culture? And you thought it was such a nerdy thing to be reading about that. And I found it fascinating. And so you were making a smart ass comment, the truly beautiful one, and I'm the nerdy one. And so that's when you came up with this name, Beauty in the Brain.
And it stuck.
But it is, I think, interesting, because what I did read more about and find out about as a kid, there's a lot of that. There are some things that are universal, and we learn that as we learn things in aesthetics. And if you go to, you know, well-trained providers with experience, there are some things that we look at, like facial thirds, facial fifths, where we're balancing proportions of the face. We're looking at symmetry and how can we get closer to symmetry. So there's a lot of things that's going on in our minds before we just put that syringe into your face. And we're looking at some of those things that are considered ideal. But if certain people come from different cultures, I think it's important that provider understands the look that they're trying to achieve, because there may be some subtle differences there. The size of the lips, the proportion of the upper lip to the lower lip, those sorts of things will change, and there's individual preferences, and there's kind of cultural differences there as well. One of the odd things, I think, that we know, this is not just for the face, but we've seen cultural differences in the way women want their vagina to look. Allie, you do most of that.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, I didn't know you were going there.
Yeah, I didn't know we were going there. Yeah, I think people just have a way different idea of what they think is pretty. Like, because I've had some, like, a patient ask me for something that I'm like, I wouldn't do anything. Like, I think that's, like, that's what I think of as, like, that looks good. But she didn't like how it looked and wanted to embellish.
Yeah, so when we say different, I think some women like it really plump, really juicy, really full. Mm-hmm. Other ones want it, like, Barbie, like, tight, flat against the body, don't see it at all. So it's not just the face, it's the body as well. So there are some cultural differences with that and individual preference differences. And
convenience-wise, Barbie's easiest, right? Unless you want to show it off in your swimsuit.
I don't know. Maybe I don't have those parts. So.
But, I mean, you can look at the different cultures and the way that they dress. And, for instance, the Midwest females and the Miami females tend to dress very differently. And a lot of that, my guess is Midwest would want more of a Barbie look, and the Miami would want more of all the adjectives you just used to describe it, because you look at...
You don't like plump and juicy?
I just thought it was a real weird description, but the... plump and juicy sounds like a hamburger.
I'll have to show you a Bruno Mars song later about this.
But the... But it was one of those, like, if you think about walking down the street in Miami and the leggings people wear, like, they're pretty revealing and they accentuate different parts than the Midwest people would. And so, and that is stereotyping, I guess, to an extent. But it's also things that we've been asked for here in the clinic. So it's,
I look like probably like a Mormon religion when I go to Miami. Like, that's how I feel. And I don't dress super conservatively, but a lot of times, and it depends on like what you're doing too. Obviously, like, if you're out in nightlife, like, people are dressed a little more scandalous than they would be going to the grocery store. But
I do not think you ever dress like a Mormon.
I feel like in Miami, I look like a Mormon.
Sierra. I'll agree. No, because I mean, their outfits are
very scandalous.
Yeah.
Like a swimsuit.
Yeah, it's pretty much wrong.
But like a smaller swimsuit than I would ever wear to the beach.
No bars.
Yeah. Yeah. Tassels and a thong with some draping, or something across. And yeah, stiletto heels that like I'm just going to go for comfort.
I don't know. I think you always look like cute, but I don't think conservative at all.
I feel like they're.
I see what you're saying when you say that, but I guess I'm in that area quite a bit. And there are those extremes like on the beach, but in general, that's not.
Yeah. I think it's because the one time I went out in Miami, we were like out at clubs and stuff. And I was like, this is crazy. More of a Fort Lauderdale girl if I had to move down there. Let's talk about Europe.
Okay.
I've never been there.
You've never been to Europe?
Never been to Europe.
There's a lot, like Dr. Tim Pierce.
I wouldn't think Alaska would have any.
Alaska?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think Alaskan people don't all look beautiful?
I just would think that they'd bundle up and wear a lot of fur.
Can't be showing off too much up there because you got to be bundled up.
You know, it would be kind of fun. Drop somebody from Miami in their outfit in Alaska.
Give them a little hypothermia. Here.
We kind of picked on Miami.
We picked on Miami a lot.
No, we can piece it together. We have a trip coming up soon in Asia, and we'll be there for 10 days, I think. And so we're going to be in Hong Kong. It's basically a cruise from Hong Kong to Singapore. So we'll cruise our way down through there. And while we're there, is there anything in particular that you want to have done? Like, I'd like to have a facial.
No, I just want to check out what's available, maybe look at some new treatments and how they're doing things there and get ideas to bring back here. Because I think it is, yes, we're fortunate we can go there and see some of these things, but there's a lot of people that may want to enjoy some of those benefits right here in our area. And so I think it's finding a way to help offer something that differentiates us will be fun.
Well,
there's a lot of things we do maybe that differentiate us besides that, but that's just one fun thing.
Yeah. Well, I think ultimately what we've talked about during this is that like every culture has something to offer to bring back. Like there's beauty in every single culture, even Miami Alley. There are bits and pieces of that we can all piece together to get like what we each determine to be the ultimate beauty.
Don't get me wrong. I would love to go to Miami and get a BBL. I'm just too scared.
I'll take care of you when you get it.
Yeah, but the problem is having to fly back on one of the, like, on my knees. Like, I can't do that. I'd have to just go stay in Miami for, like, a month. You guys would miss me too much here, so I guess I can't go. I can't work from home. The only downside of working here is I can't work from home.
I will say that you don't get a lot of time off of surgery. I had a neck lift. Chris gave me 2 days off.
That's awesome. And get back at it.
So
people need their breath.
We'll have to do a follow-up to this when we get back from our trip
and
talk about all the things that we saw and that we're bringing back. So you've done some recent international conventions and have some others coming up. Is there anything in particular that you took away from the last one or that you look forward to coming up?
Yeah, this has been kind of a fun year. So been in Colombia and Toronto, have a trip to Peru. And so it's kind of fun interacting with aesthetic providers in those areas and seeing how they do things and how it's a little different than what we do here. Definitely some techniques that I've learned that we've implemented. I like one of the lip cannula techniques, and I love seeing what products they have available there that we don't have here. Unfortunately, we can't bring it back here, but it's exciting to see where some of the research is going and look at what we may have available to us in the future. There's some really, really exciting products in the pipeline.
Cool.
Thank you guys for tuning in for another episode of Beauty and the Brain. We look forward to seeing you next week.
See you soon.
Bye.